Catching the set of the day, missing your traction pad with your back foot, and then going over the falls with your board and fins between your legs in front of three dudes who used to bully you in high school. Today on the Surfing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan Bylak. I am your host. Today on the podcast, we'll have some stories and or anecdotes about surfing and surf trips, but also you will learn three things at least. You will learn how to build a universal wetsuit lock for camping, traveling, and for around your house and or apartment, how to remove tar from your feet at the beach with a simple household surfing item that most surfers have with them, and how to get RV/camping reservations almost anytime you want. I try and pack as much learning into these episodes as I can between the cussing, the ranting, and the stupidity. So those are three things guaranteed in this episode. But besides that, let's jump into it. Let's get into thing near and dear to my heart. And first off, thank you so much. If you haven't already, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify or whatever you do. If you're on Spotify or iTunes, please leave us a nice review. A couple of you have left really nice reviews in the last week. I just saw them. One of you said it was a very entertaining podcast. By a washed up surfer who tells funny anecdotes or something like that. So thank you very much. I don't mind being described as old and or washed up, because then it makes me sound like when I was younger, I was much more, you know, virile and adept and a much better surfer, which wasn't true. I was just terrible and younger. So thank you so much for your feedback and leaving a review. But yeah, I was going to start off the show. I do complain about stuff in the show. And real quick, I've been having a great summer. There was waves for almost 6 weeks where I live, and then it went flat, and it's been flat for the last 2 weeks. But last 2 weeks, I've been traveling. I've been doing some surf camping and some surf traveling alone with me and my son, and then with me and my son and my wife. So it's been super fun. But here are my two least favorite two of the least favorite. I have many least favorite, but two of my least favorite archetypes of surfers or types of people that you will encounter in the water on a surf mission or a surf trip or a surf, even at your own local beach, just surfing wherever you surf normally. The first one is the frenemies, and I've talked about this before many episodes ago. I've discussed this, but it's the guys who are like worse surfers than you are, even if you're as terrible as me, but they're like either novice or just kind of terrible surfers, and they make friends with you and try and chat you up when there's no one else out and it's like empty and or the waves aren't very good, because if the waves are good, why would they talk to you? You guys would be surfing. And then after that, like, trying to bro down with you, whether you're totally, I've done it both ways, been totally cool and try to bro down and chit chat, or I've been kind of cold or aloof or just kind of been on my own deal, or just like acknowledge them, chit chat a little bit and paddle away. Whatever the case, it always happens that these guys, as soon as they've like chatted you up, immediately become like your frenemies, where they decide that even though they're not even can barely paddle or take off in a wave, you guys are in a heat together and you are co-peers in the ocean, and that they have to stick with you and try and hustle you for waves and take waves off you or paddle around you or like paddle on the shoulder on waves like you're not going to take off on them and then pull back at the last second and wreck the wave. I swear, I've talked about this before, like when I used to live in LA, when I used to surf El Porto, I had this happen all the time, especially on like slightly, you know, bigger days, like not even bigger, like head high to like, you know, barely overhead days. I'd have guys like, oh man, it's great out here, who are like on a wave storm or, you know, some stupid Hayden shapes they've ridden, you know, twice in their life after having it for a year. And then they follow you around and then they try and paddle around you. I had that, these two guys, I was down at down towards San Clemente, one of the lesser breaks, just a really mellow, but by one of the camping spots, mellow place. I was walking on the trail. It's like, you have to walk down this rock trail. I was walking down the trail by myself carrying a wave storm that I've determined is actually, and my son, my 6-year-old / 7-year-old son just turned 7. We were going down the beach. We took me and him over, you know, 3-night RV trip down south from where we live in Orange County in California. And we're going to surf and hang out and play on the beach. Guys, I'm coming down the hill, and I'm my son, he's got his bucket and his shovel, and he's gonna throw, you know, rocks into the sea or whatever he does while I surf. And the waves are like, there's no swell. The waves are like 1 foot. It's like 1 to 2 at best, but clear. It's like 1 foot, but under my arm, I'm not sweating it because I have a wave storm that I have determined and figured out. It is at least 7 or 8 years old. I think the wave storm that I have was from the first wave of wave storms. When they came out at Walmart like 8-9 years ago or whatever, we bought one back when me and my wife lived in LA, I think before she was even pregnant. We were married, but she wasn't pregnant yet, or just gotten pregnant. And I had ridden it all that summer and, like, you know, 6-inch waves in Manhattan Beach and, you know, Santa Monica and goofy places in LA that you end up surfing because you're miserable and live in LA, but you got to surf somewhere and it's summer and Jesus Christ, it's so hot in the traffic and you just want to die. And this is before COVID, by the way. But yeah, I had this wave storm's old, is what I'm trying to say. It's beat to crap. It's so bad that, like, the sweet spot for laying on it where you would normally lay on a board where you're like in the middle kind of equilibrium, you know, balanced nose to tail, that spot, if you lay in that spot, the board bends in a way that actually curves the rocker, like warps like a middle rocker where the wave sucks down in the wave and kind of like makes you purl. So you either have to paddle just a few inches above that, like too close to the nose, the board actually gets more out of the water, or further back in the tail where you're doing a slight wheelie, but the buoyancy of the board helps. If you lay in the sweet spot where you're supposed to lay on this board, it doesn't work. The deck is mashed in. It's not been buckled, but it clearly doesn't have the structural integrity that it used to. And after you surf, it leaks, or as I call it, weeping. It weeps salt water for anywhere from like 1 to 2 to 3 or 4 days, depending on which way you lean it. If you lean it on its, like, just flat on the ground or on its rail, it will leak for days. If you stand it up, it'll leak for about a day and a half, but it leaks water. So the longer you surf, the heavier it gets. It's a beat up old wave storm, but it's like, it's been in my garage. It's not like we didn't leave it in the side of the house. So it still looks, the coloring looks like a decent wave storm, but it's the wave storm is almost a decade old. It's older than my son. It has seen better days. But I don't have the heart to part with it because I don't want to, like, I got the wave storm when it was like 90 or 99 bucks at Costco. Now I think they're like 150 or 200 bucks, and I can't get my head around dropping 200 bucks in a wave storm. I'd rather just put it towards getting like a longboard or a used longboard, because it just, I mean, it's part way to a longboard there, and I don't want to buy a used wave storm to replace it because it'll be just as crappy as my wave storm. So we're just using the wave storm as long as we can, and it's been a good board for my son to learn about surfing on. That was actually last week. My son stood up on his first wave. We were up Bolsa Chica, he likes to lay on the board and kind of bodyboard on it, have me like swim behind the board with my hand on the traction pad and kind of guide it and go back and forth and make it do like whoa like left and right. But that night, we were night camping at Bolsa Chica. We're going to spend the night in the RV. Me and my son and my wife was going to drive down from where we live and come do roast marshmallows and then go back home as me and my son were going to have a camp out together. But it was like about an hour before dark. It's about an hour before dark. He wanted to go in the water. The water was warm. And it was real, just, you know, 1 to 2 foot shore break waves at best. It's kind of windy. So we had the entire beach pretty much to ourselves and the entire water to ourselves. There's no one in the water. So he was doing that thing where I push him on the board and laying down on it. And after like 5 or 6 waves, he's getting kind of bored, and I'm like, okay, well, this will be the last one. I pushed him, and then he like got up on his knees and stood up on his knees and like put his hands over his head and like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, that was so cool. And I run up, I'm like, okay, well, you ready to go? He's like, no, I want to do one more. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to, you don't have to stand up or anything. Just lay down. It's fine. So we took him back out, pushed him up on a wave, and lo and behold, he went up and stood up goofy foot on his, for like 2 or 3 seconds, looked back and claimed it, and then jumped off the board and was all psyched. And then I ran up and I posted a video on our Instagram at the Surfing Podcast on Instagram. You can see it, but of him taking off, wave, him standing up, then me running up and telling him good job, and then him running after the board because he immediately ran after and grabbed the board and started dragging it back out, and then made me do, you know, he wanted to catch like, he kept saying one more like 10 or 15 times. He got like 15 more waves and stood up every time. He stood up well and rode it really long, like all the way to the, like, you know, where it hit the sand, and then he got bumped off onto the sand. And then the other ones, he just kind of stood up and screwed around and jumped off and, you know, did funny things and made funny faces on him. But yeah, it was super rad. I was not planning on my son standing up on a surfboard that soon. Or that quickly, you know, that whatever. Not like, I haven't been pushing my son to surf, but we got him trained, like, you know, how to swim when he was young, and I've been taking him to the beach ever since he's a little kid and getting him used to the beach and letting him, explaining how the water and the waves work and where to stand and how to go in the shore break and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and how to be water safe and ocean safe. And he knows that I surf and watches me surf. But I don't agree with, like, pushing your kids to surf. I think for surfing's a really fun, special thing. But, you know, there's kids, half the kids at Huntington were homeschooled, like, that surfed the pier, you know, last year and early this year before COVID. Now all those little fuckers were like, oh, couldn't wait to be homeschooled. And now they're all being homeschooled. And it's like, listen, motherfucker, you're homeschooled. You got your wish. You haven't got any better at surfing, and we have limited surfing time. And the surf industry doesn't exist anymore, so there's no job and no contest. So you're training for nothing, morons. I'm sorry, that's mean, but it's fucking true. So anyway, my son stood up on a surfboard. So he's my little beach buddy. And we're like, flashback, or let's go back to the original story. We're walking down the trail of San Onofre. It's me and him. He's got his bucket and his shovel, and he's ready to go, you know, beat rocks and throw rocks. Because we're in San Clemente, down by the beaches, there's all the cobblestones and stuff. He likes to collect rocks and try and break rocks into smaller rocks and find igneous rocks, which is really into the word igneous right now for some reason. But we're walking down the trail. I've got my wave storm. And like I said, that little side digression, little side story was because my wave storm's beat to shit. You know, I'm beat to shit. I'm old. I'm walking down the trail in like a, you know, with a spring suit around my waist. And these two guys, if I'm, you know, I'm in 45, these two guys probably my age, maybe a little bit younger, either they're late 30s, mid 40s, early 40s, but not in good shape. They're kind of like worse shape than I am, because I at least used to be thinner in surf. And these guys have just, I don't know, maybe they're, but they could be, you know, surfing, you don't know. These guys could be millionaires on a trip just to go surf a weird place, or they could be just, you know, doctors or whatever. What I'm saying is, like, I'm not making fun of these guys, saying that I'm better than these guys. They probably have better jobs and better lives and probably smarter and better people than I am. But they're just kind of like, kind of goofy. And they've got like, one guy's got like a brand new, like one of those cheater, like, you know, the cheater soft top surfboards, but like the really fancy kind that has like the fins that you can, real glass fins and all this stuff. And then the other guy's got like a brand new or really nice new like single fin. I want to say like a Robert August or something like that, like a nice thing, like A-list, like A-tier, like board. And they both look very new. And the guys are like, you know, ones, they're both carrying the boards different ways, backwards or wrong or whatever you want to say, down the trail. But we'll get down the trail and they're there and there's no one out. The water's empty. The beach is empty for miles in each direction. There's a couple of kids, high school kids or families down the beach, like 200 yards, throwing rocks in the ocean or whatever. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's small, but it's glassed off, because me and my son were down playing at the beach earlier and we ran up the trail to go get his shovel and to get my surfboard and came back down. I'm like, oh, it's a lot better than it was an hour ago. It's glassy now. Like, oh, yeah. Wind dropped off, or said, they said like the wind stopped, but in a weird way, like trying to sound like they, to me, it felt like they're trying to sound like, yeah, the seas have calmed because of the low pressure, you know, trying to make it sound more fancy than they did, but whatever. And they're like, well, we almost don't want to paddle out. It's too crowded. Ha ha ha. And it was like just this forced like conversation where I was like, all right. And I'm like, well, don't worry about me, because I'm on this piece of shit and I suck. So I'm going to spend a lot of time swimming and or going over the falls. So see you out there. And, you know, and I get my son situated with his pile of rocks to beat and destroy. And I paddle out. And sure as shit, those guys go, they walk down the beach, like maybe like almost, you know, like 50, 60 yards away from my kid. They put their wetsuits on. 10 minutes later, they come out. At first, they're sitting like 50 or 60 yards away. Within 10 minutes, they're both like on the peak I'm on. And in the spot we're surfing, like I said, is 1 to 2 foot. It's these little rolly waves. It's like this half point, half beach break kind of place. Like, and there's no one out. And there's three peaks that are equally shitty. They're all about 50 yards apart. And I sat, like, I was in the middle one, and I was going to paddle on the other one, but, like, I was there getting waves. And I was not, you know, not lighting the waves, the world on fire. I actually made a, we got a, like I mentioned, a GoPro in the last episode. I used the GoPro to film, like, the first wave I ever filmed surfing. It's, like, it's a six-second wave where I take off, I drop in straight, and then I angle to the right and then go into the closeout and kick out. It's, like, nothing. Those are the waves. That's what the waves are. Super fun, and it's, like, a little bit of wind swell, kind of like when I was in Morro Bay, talked about last episode. So there's a lot of little waves rolling in, so you can catch a wave, paddle back out, and there's tons of waves. But these guys come and sit like right next to me and then right on me. And then the one guy on the cheater board is terrible and can barely, like, stands up kind of like on a weird, and I have an awful style. I look like an ostrich had sex with the giraffe but then got fat somehow, and then, you know, had some type of arm palsy or whatever. I have the worst style. I'm a bad surfer. I get it. I don't enjoy myself at all on film or otherwise surfing or doing anything, to be honest. But these guys, one guy's got like this weird, like he's hunched on the top, but then his legs are out. Like his leg is out. Like his front leg is straight. Like he's doing like a ta-da, like a dance, like the end of a dance move, like show where you pose with like his right. But he's hunched. It's a very weird thing. And then he's up, and it makes him so tippy toppy, and he's falling over in these waves and going over like the falls face first sideways off the board. Very hard to watch, but he like is trying to like hustle me. And then the other guy who's on the longboard, the actual longboard, the fancier like single fin, the nice, you know, the Robert August whatever, is like clearly like trying to race me to the shoulder on waves and like trying to paddle me off to see if I'm gonna like go for waves or get waves. So finally I just start selling him on waves. Like I'll paddle for a wave. Like the harder I paddle towards a wave coming in, the more excited he'll get to catch it. So I'll just jam over, like I'm get right in the spot to catch a wave and then act like I can't catch it, or like kind of pull my rails back. And then he would go every time and it'd always be a shitty wave. And then I would get the wave after it. That's how I got rid of them. And then I tried going up to the peak that they were at. They followed me over there. Then I tried going all the way to the second peak below us. But they really, for like 30, 40 minutes, they like cat and moused me as I was on this horrible, you know, reverse fucking rocker, you know, 8, 9, 10 year old wave storm with no leash. And then I went in, and then as soon as I went in and I was playing with my son on the beach for like, you know, 10 or 20 minutes before I went up the trail, they went and paddled off the peak that I was on and went back down the beach. Like they had just come over to fucking, like, I don't know if I guess this time of year, that part of that beach or that area is a little bit sharky. It's like a juvenile great white shark breeding ground. But I mean, come on, they're grown man and there's two of them. I don't know. They only paddled over, and I don't think they consciously did it. Like, oh, let's go hustle this guy. Let's be dicks. I just think it's a subconscious thing that surfers do, especially like novice ones or like medium, you know, beginner ones. Like, but it's so fucking annoying because I try, and we'll get to it at the end of this episode. But I try as I get older. I know I can be a dick. I know I can be a grouch. I'm trying so hard in my life at this stage of my life to be more patient with people and more generous with my time and my listening and personality. I know that I can just be a real, like, get fucked, leave me alone type of energy, you know, person. So I'm really trying to be just, like, at least pH 7 neutral, just, you know, just open. Like, hey, guys, good. Yeah, catch this one. Go ahead. And like I said in the last episode, when I go surf other places, I'm totally, like, if I'm not from there and you're paddling for a wave, I make sure that you know that I don't want that wave. I'm not going to try and impede you from catching it in any way. Like, everywhere I try and do that. I just don't care. I'm not trying to be in a heat. Speaking of that, the second type of person I hate is the person, just like, it's similar, but we were down in South County, Orange County, and one night we were staying at a campground that was like at the top, the inland top part of Uppers or of Trestles. It's the San Mateo campground. It's like a mile inland past the Cristian Nidos, famous, you know, the Carl's Jr. in the parking lot, the top of the Uppers Trail that goes down to Uppers and Lowers. We were staying there, and it's a trek. From the top of the trail to Lowers is probably, I want to guess, like a mile and a half. From top of the trail to Uppers, probably about a mile, if not more or less. And it kind of curves, and it's steep, but it's paved. The extra mile that we went is like we could have walked the road and just went the extra mile and then went to the trail. But the trail in from San Mateo, the ranger lady told us, oh, no, there's a nature trail. It's like really easy. And I'm like, well, is it paved? Because I had my son in, you know, a wagon full of like all his toys and our lunch, some drinks and his boogie board and like wetsuits and towels and his snorkel mat. He wanted me to bring everything to the beach. He'd never been to like Uppers or, you know, or Trestles. I don't think he didn't like it that much because he didn't like the rocks at first. But and then later when we surfed further south, he liked the rocks. He could smash them. But so we walk up this hill. This nature trail is no joke. It's like, it like tic-tacs back and forth, and it's like, it's not just dirt. It's like gravel, but bigger gravel than gravel. It's like gumball, like large, like ever, like giant gumball from like the vending machine gumball size gravel, and it's sharp. And then it's like dust, but it's like that. It's not dirt. It's like dusty dirt that like gets in everything, but it also, if it gets wet, it's just the grossest thing. And that's uphill. And there's some parts that are so steep. Sorry, I'm fixing the mic. That are so steep. There we go. That you like barely have traction, and I'm dragging a sled full of stuff, wearing a backpack with a surfboard bag, my board under my arm, and trying to like corral my son and motivate him to get up the hill, and promising him like, you better get up the hill or keep walking, or I'll give you Jolly Ranchers or let's see, like Sour Patch or whatever. Trying to bribe him to get over this hill, and it was a long walk, but got to Uppers again. The waves have been small here, but you know, fun for me because I have a bunch of, like, I have a gravel board right now. I don't really care. Been riding that Rad Ripper Lost board that's a billion liters and super fun and super loose, and I'm riding it as a quad. So I, anything over like not breaking on right on the sand, I'm down to surf, and it's super fun. And when I'm like with my kid, I surf for like 30-40 minutes, come in, play with him for 20 minutes, surf 30-40 minutes, you know, and then we usually bail. It's not like I'm doing like marathon 3-hour sessions in knee-high waves. So it's all for fun is what I'm saying. So we go to the beach. I paddle out between Uppers and Cottons and kind of surf this little peak that no one's at for like, you know, 20-30 minutes. But then I went in. My son was all eggy because he had gotten sunblock in his eyes. I kept fighting with him, like, get the sunblock away from your eyes. I was trying to put on his face, but he had rubbed it in his eyes. So then he wouldn't let me dump fresh water in it. So then I had to like cajole and yell and get him to put fresh water in. Then I washed it out of his eyes. Like, oh, I feel much better. I'm like, yeah, if you would let me do that 20 minutes ago, you wouldn't have had this problem. Jesus Christ. So I get this stuff out of his eyes. He's happy again. He's playing on the rock. So we drag the wagon down further, and I'm going to go surf upper proper because the little spot we surfed in the middle break was like, you know, again, 1 to 2. Cottons, or not cottons, but uppers looks like it's like maybe 1 to 3, you know, shoulder high, not shoulder, like waist high on the sets, but it looks kind of fun. And there's only like 5 or 6 guys out. So there's no crowd. It's small. It's like an afternoon. It's kind of cloudy in the afternoon. It's nice out, but it's not too hot. So I'm like, you want to play here more, or you want to go back? You want to do the hike back to the RV, or what do you want to do? Like, no, just stay and play. I'm going to be rock, and I'm going to make a potion. You know, I should do all this stuff with this bucket and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna drag the wagon right to the point at upper, so you play here, and I can see you and all. You know, I can see him and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I paddle out at uppers, and I got my board and spring suit and my Rad Ripper kind of fat gravel board. I've got no expectations of the waves, or you know, anything like that. And as I'm paddling out, it was weird. It was low tide. And at low tide, there's like those little bays at uppers where like there's like two different outcroppings of rocks and like a spot in between. And then the second outcropping on the left is like the proper point sticking out of uppers, basically. And that's where the waves are kind of breaking on this towards the second point. But, you know, between the middle point was closer to where we were. So I'm like, I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm just going to walk through the middle of the two points and just walk. Because it's like going to be a 50 or 60 foot, like, you know, 6-inch deep water rock dance on these rocks. And I'm like, I can do this. So I'm walking out and doing like just starting like the first 10 feet of my rock dance. And I see a guy outside in the wave, on like a 2 foot wave. But I see him fall and I see his board come out and I see it pop up out of the water. And I'm like, oh, fuck, the guy's not wearing a leash. Because the way the board popped, like I popped up like a dolphin, like with the whitewash going towards shore. And it did that like fins down like the right way and it landed the right way. So now the board's surfing. And it was only like, you know, 1.5 or 2 foot wave. But the board's surfing towards shore. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I look and the board looks kind of new and kind of nice. And then it gets closer and I start, oh shit. So I like speed up my rock dance and I biff my foot and I start running out towards the board. And I get out there and I get it and I grab it by the tail right as it's like 3 inches from going nose first, like into an upcropping of like a jutting, like angular kind of like peak of like wet rocks where it would clearly like drag across those, definitely ding the nose and then probably spin into the deeper water again from the weight of the whitewash and then break the fin or something. Like because I've had that happen before and I've seen it happen to boards a million times, especially at lowers and even at uppers. So I grab it and I save it. I'm like, oh God, because I got like all nervous and I noticed, oh shit, it's like a fish beard. And it's like the Channel Islands fish beard is like the board of the summer. I'll give you more opinions on it in a second, but it's like the fish beard is like a fish, but like it's like a shortboard fish, so it's kind of skinny. It's like longer and skinnier than a fish, and it's twin fins. So I grab it, I'm like, oh shit, I've never touched a fish beard in real life, you know, so nice, but it feels little. And this guy comes through swimming up. I'm like, oh, here's your board. I'm like, dude, this is way too nice of a board for you not to be, you know, to be surfing without a leash on, especially here. He's like, dude, I know, right? And I'm like, it was a weird, like, dude, I know, right? Like, he wasn't ashamed of it, and it wasn't like he wasn't going to do it anymore. And he grabs it and paddles back out, and I look up at the guy, and he's a white guy with a dreadlocks. Yeah. And not long, like, he's been at Rastafarian his whole life or since, you know, he's 10. Like, dreadlocks, like, shoulder-length dreadlocks. Like, he just got, like, second, third semester in college and decided, like, you know, listen, got a copy of Bob Marley Legend and the poster and put it up in his room and decided, yeah, man, I'm going to do that. But he's, like, probably, like 23, 24, maybe 25-year-old white guy with like dreadlocks, and I'm just like, oh God, fuck this guy. Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a dick. There's a guy in Huntington that surfs the pier who has like white guy dreadlocks, but they're super long, like down to his waist. It's something he's been into for a super long time, and he surfs really well, and he's the nicest kid. He's young. He's like early 20s. Like, God bless him, if that. Like, but this guy is just a dipshit. He can just tell. He's just a dipshit on a brand new fish beard, a glowing, like, beautiful, like, $700, you know, before tax and traction pad fish beard. And he's just blorp, 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 paddling back out at uppers. And also, I can tell he's a kook because I'm fat, old, and out of shape. And even though I'm on kind of a floaty board, it's not anything. I just lap him paddling back out. I make it back out, like, 50, 60, 70 feet past him before he even gets back outside. Like, and I'm not even, you know, I've just dragged a goddamn wagon and I'm exhausted. So I sit out there and I'm like, you know, you guys said, you know, gave him his board, got back out. I felt all good, whatever. And the peak is just, it's so small. There's not really a peak. There's like 6 or 7 guys out at this point, and they're all spread across like 100 yards of like, some guys are surfing the very, very inside. Some guys are getting like the middle turnaround waves and the bigger waves and going for the small insiders at the same time. I did a little bit of that, and then I just went and sat outside and waited out the back for bigger waves, like the 2 foot sets, because it was like kind of wind swell. So it was consistent enough. You didn't have to wait more than like, you know, 5, not even 10 minutes for a wave. And like, I'm out for like 20 minutes, and sure as shit, the guy that was surfing, the fish beard guy paddles. This is why I hate this type of person. Paddles from the inside where he was surfing to where I was sitting with this other guy. There's one guy out that was pretty good. He was riding like kind of, it wasn't a fish, but it was like a short stubby something, and it might have been a quad. or yeah, it might have been quad, I think. But he was on a green stubby quad board, and he was ripping pretty hard. Like, old guy probably my age, but he surfed really well. Probably a guy from down there or whatever, or surfed well. But he surfed well on that. But I was like, again, sitting away from him and not trying to hustle him for waves and not trying to, like, copy where he was sitting. But I was sitting kind of further, and I was, like, deeper because I didn't really care. And the freaking fishbird guy comes up and, like, kind of sits, like, inside of me but further over. And sure as shit, like, a two-foot wave comes in, and the fucker tries to hustle me off of it, tries to, like, paddle me deep and tries to, like, paddle in front of me. And I had to, like, luckily, he's a moron, and I'm fat and old and out of shape, but the board I have is, like, really is good at paddling. I paddled even deeper, and I swung around, got deep on him, took off, and then, like, did, like, one of those top turns and pushed, like, a little bit harder than I had to off the top turn to get, like, to begin the wave to, like, spray him in the face as I took off, and then I went and rode my wave, and then I didn't see him the rest of the session. He must have gotten a million waves and ripped. But I saw him surf later, and he was fucking super bad. Again, I am awful. If I'm calling you super bad, you definitely need to take some lessons or watch some online videos, because I am not a good surfer. So your only job in the waves is to be less of a dick and a better surfer than me. Both are very easy things to achieve. But yeah, that's the second kind of person I hate. When you do them, like, a favor, like, save their board, their expensive new board from Rocks, and then they can't even not try and fucking hustle you off a 1.5-foot wave. Such a dickhead. But yeah, that brings me to the point that the Fishbeard, the Challenge Fishbeard, is officially the surfboard of the summer. That it is. Just, it's, everyone has one under their arm. You see them everywhere. Up and down the coast, I've seen Fishbeards all over California. And it's also the fucking official kook board of the summer. It has replaced the Hayden Shapes of, you know, yore, of several years before, when every idiot had one of those with the nose camera GoPro mount in the nose with board. It's every idiot has the Fishbeard now. Here's the problem. Fishbeard's killer, but the Fishbeard's like, it's like a thin, narrow, like, kind of shortboard kind of fish, and it's twin fin. Twin fins are hard to surf. Like, they pass a certain degree, like, cutting back and doing turns, they start going backwards and going the other way in the wave, and they don't recuperate and then transition back to the other rail and go back down the line as easily as other boards. So they're twin fins are tricky to surf. You have to be a good surfer and know what you're doing to surf them. I never ride twin fins. If I have a fish board, and I got a fish board coming, and I got a I'm getting a quad, because I know for a fact that, like, twin fins, like, even when those keel fins, I the closest I would personally probably ride to a fish would be those, like, keel fins, like the seaworthy fins that are like a keel fin and then, like, a set of quads behind it. But they're just hard to surf. And it's, if you're just goofing around, I get it, but I just they're hard for me. And I know they're hard for, like, less than good surfers or mediocre or novice surfers to surf. And it's the same thing, the fishbeard outline being thin and narrow, like, and longer, like, it's a hard board. Like, the kickoff video for that board was, like, Parker Coffin surfing it in Hawaii, like, at, like, a foot or two overhead, like Rocky Point, wherever he is, like, just ripping the balls out of the wave on the board. But the secret is, Parker Coffin and the whole Channel Islands team that have been promoting this board rip the balls off of every wave under any condition on any board they ride. They're all very good surfers. It doesn't matter. You know, they could be riding a glassed boogie board with twin fin. Like Dane Reynolds does in that one video a million years ago, where he's surfing, like, 2-foot beach break on, like, a glassed boogie board with a twin fin and doing, like, air reverses. And you're just like, I quit surfing. This is just too much. But, yeah, that board is everywhere. And it's the kind of board, like I mentioned last episode, only really good surfers rip on it. And then everybody else who's mediocre or worse just flails around and sucks on it. Would have way more fun on a board with more volume. Shorter, longer, whatever, but like an actual fish, even an actual fish twin fin would be better for them than these like high performance, like, you know, ripper twins that no one can like. Not many people are Michael February. I'm sorry, Michael February has an insane style. He does cool shit. He rides twin fins very well, and he's like one of the people, you know, promo people for this model as well. Dude, if you're a surfer like me, mediocre or worse, the boards you want to get are like a regular fish that's thicker and shorter and wider. If you're going Channel Islands, get like an average Joe or a pod or like one of their stubby short boards that can be a quad or a thruster. Cause you're just not, you're not getting as good, at least thicker. Cause you're not on a thin, like tricked out, like wafer thin high performance twin fin or a fish hybrid. You're not surfing. It's I promise you'd be having more fun if you had a different board. But yeah, every goofball with white dreads and who's annoying has one of those boards that here in Huntington at the pier or up north, down south that I've seen. And I very rarely see someone that I go, oh, that guy's cool. I'd like to be like that guy when I grow up. No, I just see guys like, oh, look at this fucking dipshit. Oh God, this fucking guy. You know, that guy and like the teal fucking, you know, monster truck with a custom license plate. It's parked over, you know, sideways over two spots and like, you know, and a handicapped person. That's the guy. that's riding the fish beard this summer. Besides all the people at Rip and all the pros. God bless Channel Islands for being great people. All right, let's get into it. Speaking of being negative, real quick. Jesus Christ. And being dragged. Oh, by the way, the end of that upper story is on the way back. I didn't know the heart because my son hiked so far into the, and he's only six, you know, just turned seven this week. He's so little, I didn't have the heart to make him trek all the way back. So I loaded him, the wet suits and all the other bullshit into the little, like, you know, Walmart vinyl, like, trailer wagon thing we have, and I dragged my son from the top of the trestles trail at the train tracks, or the bottom, sorry, bottom of the where the sand ends, where the asphalt begins at the bottom of the trestles trail, all the way up the trail, and then all the way to, like, Christianitos, to that mile and a half back to our campsite. So I dragged him, like, at least 2.5 miles after having trekked in there, had two mini surfs, saving a guy's surfboard, all the things that, it was so fucking exhausting. And he was just laughing and singing the whole way, like, my dad is pulling me up a mountain. Oh my God, he looks tired. I'm like, dude, you better, I will kill you with a hammer. But it was super fun. It was funny. It was a fun thing to do. Speaking of getting dragged, earlier today, this is awful. I don't know. You don't need, it doesn't matter what day it is. It's a thing that would happen on any day because I'm a moron. I was on my phone. We were doing something with my family. And Julian Wilson, pro surfer Julian Wilson, had posted a picture on his Instagram of him doing this really beautiful backside bottom turn. Probably it looks like it's in Hawaii. And just a really gorgeous picture. I just thought it was such a pretty picture because he has such a good technical and functional and just such a good style. But normally it's like he only posts pictures of him doing like an air reverse going fin backwards or a video of him doing like some crazy thing. And I just thought it was such a pretty, like, classic picture. And then the caption was hashtag, the only caption was hashtag find your fin at FCS surf. And then like the photo, at, you know, by Tall Reef. And that was it. And I was just like, ugh. And all I wrote was, like, this is dumb. And from our Instagram account, I wrote, this is such a beautiful photo. Too bad it had to be used as an ad post. And I didn't mean anything by it. And I was just like top of my head. I wasn't calling the guy names. And he's, you know, one of the greatest surfers ever and a pipe master. And then Julian Wilson's account, probably not him, but his account just responded back, you know, with a hands up, like shrug emoji. And I just felt so bad. I'm like, sorry to bust your balls. I'm sure it's not easy with COVID taking away your, you know, the tour this year and the surf industry kind of imploding. The pic just really is one of the best ones you've posted in a while. You, the guy who took it, and everyone's families deserve to eat. Not trying to be mean. Hope you're having a great week. Thanks for being good at your job. And then I got, like, not super bothered, but I got piled on by a couple of Julian's fans saying, how dare you? You're clearly trying to make money on your podcast. And you're like, blah, 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 you know. Making fun of Julian, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And even FCS is like commented, the surf company, the Surfboard Fins, is like, just a man purely admiring the craft and equipment under his feet, prayer hands. Thanks, Julian Wilson. And I was just like, oh, God. And I just responded like, ha, 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 ha. Thanks, smiley face. But I felt bad. I wasn't trying to like bag on anyone. I definitely wasn't trying to blow up my stupid podcast by commenting on it. It's just, I don't use a personal fucking Instagram account because I just don't give a shit about Instagram enough. So usually the Surfing Podcast account is the account I comment on stuff. But it was just very funny that I got picked on a little. I made fun of for like commenting on like a great service picture, but it was very weird. The comments got very like eggy very quick. It's so funny that if you ever speak out against like materialism, consumerism, or even capitalism, and I'm not some like weird, like, oh, destroy capitalism, I fucking do it, I own a business and work and stuff like that, so I understand capitalism, I'm a big participant in capitalism, but like if you ever speak out of the paradigm of like, oh, the pay for play, the surfing, all the posts are ads, and a lot of the posts, especially the posts in America, is kind of on Instagram and Facebook is illegal. You're not really technically allowed to post stuff like that and then hashtag your sponsors without having like an ad hashtag, but you know, I'm not trying to report anyone or whatever. I just thought like, oh, it's such a beautiful picture. I wish the caption had been like, oh, bottom turn early morning, you know, or late afternoon, Rocky Point or Holly or you know, Pupake or wherever he's surfing. Just a little like I slice of life, or just a comment that wasn't just a hashtag for an ad, find your fin, because fins to Julian Wilson matter, because you can probably tell within a tenth of a micron whether the fins and the glassing and the rocker and everything that's board is right. But to most regular surfers, the fins, as long as they are fins, they don't fucking matter. I'll be honest, that find your fin and your ride number, most surfers can't fucking tell. As long as they're three of the same general in shape normal fins, they're just going to go flail like anyone else. And I'm included in that. It's like, Jesus Christ. You know, I can tell if fins are way, way, way too big or way, way, way too small, but the nuance of them, it's like, I'm just trying to live my life. I'm surfing crappy, waist to shoulder high beach breaks at best. What the fuck do I know? But yeah, I just thought that was very funny. But it was an accidental, like, oh man, that was, I got picked on or called out by Julian Wilson's social media team and his groupies. And I'm a grown man. It's really sad. I need to grow up. But yeah, if my one tip for San Mateo Campground, if you hike in, definitely don't take the nature trail. Just walk outside of the campground to the highway and just walk that mile on the road because it's a paved like bike lane. It is like the fucking white trash U.S. Marines Autobahn where you'll just see guys in yellow and flame red Mustangs speeding a billion miles an hour towards their, you know, the Marine base that's there. But yeah, it's an easier walk and it's an easier wagon drag for sure. And it's easier bike. It's easier in any way if you stay at that campground than doing that. All right, let's get into the three tips that I wanted to give you guys. Tip number one, how to make a universal wetsuit lock. So I've been doing camping and RVing with my family some this month for the summer, and I've come to this. Sometimes you have to hang up your wetsuit, like we've been saying, in an RV. Our RV is pretty small. There's no room to really hang it up anywhere inside the RV, and you don't want to like get salt water everywhere, and the bathroom's really small, and the circulation's not great, so it's like doesn't really get dry. So you kind of want to hang your wetsuit outside, especially during the day and the afternoon, and even at night sometimes it does better, even outside by the humidity of the beach, it does better than inside the RV, I feel. But you know, RV parks are kind of sketchy, and we'll close the episode out with a great story about that. You're not saying everyone's going to steal, but like it's better. It's like locking your bike. It's better to lock your bike so that someone's not tempted to steal. You know what I mean? You're doing them a favor by doing yourself a favor by locking up and taking care of your shit. So here's a great way that I've discovered, or I saw when I was little, and I used it now as a grown-up, and it really does work. To lock your wetsuit up, make your own DIY wetsuit lock, and I'll put a post on the surfingpodcast.com showing some pictures of this and how to do it. I've been locking my wetsuits, my full suits or spring suits or whatever suits, up to the stairs on the back of our RV because they're pretty robust. And if someone's going to rip the stairs off your RV, you got bigger problems than them stealing your wetsuit. But you just got to get a stiff plastic coat hanger, just any kind. They have the regular plastic coat hangers from Target. I have some of the fancier heavy-duty ones. They're like an extra, you know, instead of getting 12 or 18 for $3, I think you get like 8 or 10 for $3 at Target or whatever. But they're worth it because they're for hanging wetsuits on, and then they don't break. Because the other ones, if you hang a wet 4-3 on them or even a wet 3-2, they'll break sometimes, and that's just a pain in the ass. So get a sturdy coat hanger, hang your wetsuit on it on the inside like you normally would to dry out inside out. Then you get a cable lock, like a bike cable lock. But I started doing it with the spinny, like the pre-twisted kind that was on my son's bike. That's lame and it sucks. What you want to do, Amazon right now, there's a red cable lock by the company, the club, the company that made the club, that thing people used to put in their steering wheels 100 years ago to keep the car from getting stolen. I think it was like $10. I'll put a link in the article on the website or in the posting for this show. But it's like a cable lock. It's like a cable lock, you know, like on a bike, but it's not pre-twisted. It's straight for the most part. And it's thicker than a normal cable lock. And it's 10 feet long. Most cable locks are like 1.5, 3 foot or 6 foot. Even 6 foot gets kind of like, because if you're hanging a full suit, you want to, you'll get to the next step. But what you want to do is get that cable lock and you put it through the neck and then down the arms or down the leg. You have a spring suit and then loop it together and then lock it. And then you can use whatever kind of lock. So you need a heavy duty coat hanger, the cable lock, and then any kind of lock. You can use a padlock, key lock, whatever. I like to use like I used to. I'll tell you why at the end of this episode. I like to use a bike lock, like a what do you call those U-shaped stupid? I'm forgetting the name of it now, and I know you're sitting in your car going, "You idiot! It's called this." I can't think of it for the life of me. Those the fancier locks, the $30 or $40 ones you put in your bike, that come with a key that are impossible to cut. Because yes, someone could cut the cable lock, but again, if they're going to cut the cable lock, they were going to steal your wetsuit anyway. It's a nice visual deterrent, and people can see it from far away. And if you get the 10-foot one, you can easily string up two full suits together. Kryptonite lock, that's what it was. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. But you can easily string it through two full suits and still have the arms facing down. That's why you want it long, because you don't want to be too short where the arms are bunched up. You want the arms to face down so that it's still draining out like a regular wetsuit and drying normally. So you don't have like one soaking wet arm or elbow or whatever when the other one's dry. But you run it through the shoulder to the arm and then lock it, or run it through the shoulder to the arm and then through the other wetsuit shoulder and arm and then lock it to, like you said, your RV. You can lock it to anything, your RV stairs, your RV awning, your RV, a chain link fence, a gate, whatever. At your house, you could lock it to your apartment complex, the railing, a beam in your garage, outside. It works anywhere. But I saw that when I was a little kid one time. We went to like a day camping surf trip with Robert. Funny I mentioned his boards. Robert August. I grew up in Huntington, and Robert August had a shop down on like 5th, 6th Street in Olive. 5th Street in Huntington Beach, and my buddy Maddie was like the shop kid there, so we always hung out there. And on the weekends, you know, once in a while Robert would take the kids, if you hung out around the shop, you rode his boards and stuff. You could go in his RV and go with him downtown with it, down to San Onofre with it, you know, his son Sam and his other son, and you surfed with everybody. And I went a couple times, and I saw that because there was guys that were camping out there overnight or whatever, and they had run that on a chain link fence and done that. And I was like, I mean, I saw that. God, I probably saw it 35 years ago, and I remembered it still, and I actually used it, and it totally works. So that's probably, if you get nothing else from this podcast, that's a super useful DIY thing. Like I said, the good cable lock I use from Amazon was like $10, and they're more expensive ones, you know, but any cable lock will do. If you have a twisty bike one, just straighten it out a little bit and use that. Any bike lock or lock you have laying around, you know, so that's basically a thing for the coat hanger. Can be any coat hanger, it doesn't be heavy duty. Any plastic coat hanger will do, or the ones that come with your wetsuit if you get them at surf shop. But yeah, it's an under $20 lock thing. And yeah, if someone's gonna steal your wetsuit by cutting the lock or breaking the thing or whatever, they were gonna steal your wetsuit anyway. It was meant to be. You're not, but it is a nice visual deterrent, and I do think it makes it a pain in the ass enough that if someone was going to go after it, that they would probably choose to steal someone else's shit. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I just got back. I went up to Santa Barbara after going, like, took a couple of days off at home, and then I went up to Santa Barbara with my family and surfed and just camped and did stuff around there and went to the beaches. And we went, what did we go to, Refugio or Capitan? Somewhere up there, within 30 seconds of going in the water, my wife and son were covered from like their bottom, their feet to their knees in tar. And then I was just like, fuck it. This is just, there was just a bad tar patch at the beach we were at, and they had gotten in it. I'm like, we're just going to be in this thing. So just play in the water and we'll fix it later. But we didn't have any like tar remover stuff, and one of the camping places had sold this little spray bottle of tar remover stuff, and it smells, and it's basically just the orange scented degreaser stuff they sell at Home Depot for, like, you know, a 16-ounce bottle for like $4. It's that, but it's like no coloring in it, and it's basically it smells like Goo Gone, so Goo Gone will work. Baby oil and tea oil will take tar off. But this is the for the surfing podcast. If you're at the beach, this is for a thing for surfers. I was at the beach a few weeks ago, like a month ago with my son, and we're at Salt Creek. I was just about to paddle out, and I stupidly had stepped in on some seagrass or something. I was dried out on the beach. I should have looked where I was stepping, but I stepped on a chunk of tar that was like trapped in seagrass, and I got tar like on the ball of my front foot and between my front first, second, and third toes, like right. And I was wearing a light colored wetsuit, light colored something, I think. And I guarantee I couldn't get the stuff off. I was trying to rub it with a stick and, you know, sand, and just, it was just there. And it was like guaranteed my board was just going to be covered, because this is where my front foot was. After three waves, my board would be covered, my wetsuit was going to be covered, it's going to be miserable. I didn't have anything with me, but I had my son and my you know, our surfing, our beach backpack with me. And what I did have was spray on sunblock. So besides actual remover, degreaser, Goo Gone, baby oil, tea oil or whatever, or tea tree, whatever it is, oil, a really good DIY in a pinch if you need it, especially to get it off your foot if you're about to paddle out, spray on sunblock. The crap, like, you know, the alcohol or whatever's in spray on sunblock, or the gross stuff that makes spray on sunblock and hurts your eyes when your kid gets it in his eyes, that stuff will activate the tar, and you can use that in a stick or a napkin or even a towel, and it will take the tar off your feet. I just sprayed a bunch of my foot and on my hand, and then rubbed my hand and then rubbed sand on it, and it took all of it off so much that my foot, like, it was a glob. It was a thick, like, wrap around gooey, like, you know, piece of venom that got on me, glob. And it took it all off, and I surfed for, like, you know, an hour, hour and a half, and I got a bunch of waves, and I had no wax on my, no tar on my wax because of that. So super good DIY thing. So DIY lock, DIY remover for tar at the beach. And then finally, I had a couple of messages from last episode. People are like, oh, you're doing RVing at all these cool places that I've heard about in Southern California, and it sounds like you just started doing it. And how are you getting it without pre-planning? How are you getting reservations? You know, how are you getting to stay at these places because they're all booked up? And you're absolutely right. A month ago, I'd be like, I don't know, because we looked into going camping like a few months ago, and everything was booked up. And, you know, from LA south was booked up for six, because you can book 6 months in advance and all the good spots, especially the weekends, are booked. And even the Bolsa Chica at Huntington, everywhere was booked. Well, here's a secret I didn't know about the state parks camping thing. They have a first come, first serve deal that you can do, like, for cancellations and stuff. It's just, it's different at every campsite. Some do it first thing in the morning. Some do it at like 11 o'clock. Some do it for handicapped spots after 5 p.m. or something like that. Like, some have a lottery, some have a wait list, you know, whatever. So you just have to go to the campsites you want to go to. Whether, you know, I would get reservations for one and go to that one. But when you go, ask what their policy is, and then either write it down in your notebook or write it down where you write down stuff. Or what I usually do is just text it to myself or write it to myself in an email. know, like such and such state beach policy, you know, camping policy. And then I write a couple sentences or, you know, a couple bullet points of what you have to do to sign up by 9 o'clock. Da, da, da. We have gotten to stay. When we went down south to the San Onofre and San Clemente area, we got to move from San Mateo to a better park that was by the beach, because the second day we were going to stay an extra day at San Mateo, the ranger goes, oh, you could go to this other place if you just go. She goes, I know for a fact they have two open spots. They just don't have the number there. You'll have to drive there and ask them. And we drove over there and we got a spot right on the cliffs overlooking the beach with no reservations. It was a weekend. So I know for a fact, same thing with like the beaches here in Huntington, that they're all booked up forever. But if you go in the morning, you can ask. And that's pretty much up and down the coast. The place we stayed up in, like by Goleta and like Santa Barbara, they're booked till Christmas for RV stuff. And my wife and I walked through the RV park just because it's by the beach, like area we're going to. And we went to the general store there where they take reservations. And it was like three young college girls, and they were hilarious. They liked that my son had like a Deadpool. He had his Deadpool baseball hat on. He's never seen Deadpool because I'm not a monster. Let my kids see like double R-rated movies at age six. But he knows of Deadpool from like cartoons and whatnot, and thinks he's very funny. But they liked my son. I was joking around with him. We were joking around, like being funny with them. And then they told my wife basically, yeah, if you call and if you know us, if you call any of the three of us, we can get you a reservation, like a fallout, no problem. And she goes, we totally take bribes. One guy who lived in Van Nuys was driving up with his wife, and I said, oh, you're in Van Nuys. Why don't you bring us a cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory? And he got like a prime spot on like a holiday weekend with no reservations by bringing them a cheesecake. So I'm just telling you, like, that's the deal. The ranger stations, like, don't take bribes and stuff like that at like state beaches, but it is a total, the websites are like totally like you need 72 hours pre-reservations. We won't take reservations, no cash, da 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 da. Blah, 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 blah. In real life, every different park is different. So you just have to go there. And that even goes for like length of camper. They're like, oh, 25 feet maximum. But then you'll see like RVs that are way more like closer to 30 or, you know, at least 30 feet, you know, 5 feet over the limit. And they're loosey. They're cool about it. If they're not crowded and if they have a thing, if they have space, they'll work with you. And that's not just for RVs. That's for camping or van camping or whatever. It's just, it's a case by case. So what I'm doing now is I'm planning surf trip places with my son, places I want to go, but places where like there's like three places, RV places or camping places within like 5 to 10 or with 15 to 20 miles of each other, and like ranking them and how close they are. And what we'll do is we'll drive there without reservations, hit up the first one we want to. It's like on our list. Try and get in there. If we don't get in there, second one and then third one. And if worst case scenario, we come home and find somewhere on the way home. But like that is a way you can totally do it. And no one will tell you that until you actually start doing it and camping, and then you'll see how it works. But one place, we were at a fishing place in like Murrieta, and it was like, checkout was like at noon, and it cost like, you had to buy a fishing pass each day. And so I was like, went in the morning at like 9, because we were going to fish for like, my son's not super amped on fishing because he hates the waiting aspect of it. So I'm like, hey, can we get passes? And we got to check out at noon. Well, can we move the RV and park it over in that parking lot? And then can we fish for a little bit in the afternoon? And the guy's like, you know what? It's super chill. No, we don't have a lot of reservations. It's first come, first serve. It's like, you can stay till 5. Just be cool about it. And like we did, we got to stay an extra 5 hours. So we went to the pool, we fished, we ate food, and then we left at like 4:30. It was freaking great. So it's really the RV, and I'll get more into the RV stuff later, because it's good. There's a million different subcultures in the RV people. It's like surfing. There's different unspoken rules, and if not rules, guidelines and bro deals and all this crazy shit that goes down. But yeah, it's really, you just kind of, it's like surfing. You can read about surfing, but you got to kind of do it. You can read about camping and RVing, but until you actually go to the places and see what it's like and understand what the deal is. Like some places have electricity, but not a sewer outlet. Some places have this and that. Some are nicer, some are better. Some have bathrooms are gross. Some have like kind of trashier, scarier people. Some have kind of snootier people. So you just kind of get in when you fit in and do what you want to do. All right, I got to end this episode. So that's three tips. DIY, wetsuit lock, DIY tar remover, and DIY camping at the last minute. Don't go to Trestles or somewhere, try and camp somewhere awesome on like, you know, Memorial or Labor Day weekend and not get reservations and blame me like I'm the asshole. Like within reason, like you can weasel into places, but if you're trying to go somewhere like, you know, for Christmas week or whatever, like or whatever, like holiday, you're probably not, you know, come on. Make reservations. Think ahead. But if you can't, and if you're dying or you're stuck, you know, you just do that. Just go case by case. But you can't call most of these places. They don't have phones that pick up, and they don't answer email. So you're just kind of screwed. All right. So here's the thing that I've learned. This is the last one. This isn't even a bonus tip. This is just a story, because I feel like the best feedback I get from this podcast is when I tell stories that are horribly embarrassing, where I look like a complete moron and or asshole, where things end poorly and horrifically for me, and then I have deep shame and just want to curl up and die. I feel like those are the ones like, man, that was a really good episode, bro. God, you're stupid. Glad I'm not like you. You know, that's the kind of emails we get and reviews. But this is one. This is a thing I learned RVing. This isn't a life lesson, whatever, but it's like this. I've been, like I said earlier in the episode, I've been trying to be nicer and more patient, more kind to people for at least the last year, man, probably longer. As I get older, since I had having a kid, I've tried to be more mellow. But like in the last couple of years, I've been really trying to turn my best cheek I can. But here's what I tell you. You don't, when you're, especially when this goes to camping, but this goes to life. When you're camping or RVing, you don't have to let people, don't let people rush you. And you don't have to be nice to everyone or even anyone if you don't want to. When you're camping, especially during a pandemic. That's it. And let's slash forward. So we went up north, we went down south, we've done like 4 or 5 camping trips in the last month, because this was like the month we were supposed to do stuff with our son, and he was supposed to be in like a swim class and like all these cool comic and a Pokemon. He had like 4 different camps, a week of camp, of a Pokemon camp, a comic book camp, a surf camp, and all this stuff got canceled because of COVID. So this month, before school starts in another month, we've been trying to, you know, have a fucking summer with our son. So we've been trying to take him to do shit besides just staring at our stupid asses at the house and, you know, and playing Minecraft on Switch. So we've been going camping, and this is like a week ago. Me and my son went on our own like solo. It was going to be a 2-day camping trip, and it turned into a 3-day because we got a bonus. We found a place to another cool place to stay on like last minute. But one of the last minute places we stayed, we pulled into, and it was the afternoon. Like they weren't, it was one of those places they don't let you get reservations till, you know, the check-in time was 2, but the late list or the list didn't start till 3. So we went, and I'd forgotten to get water, and it was a dry camping place. So I drove to our previous campsite that we went to, talked to them. They let us go in, fill up with water in our water tanks, and then drive back to their place and check in. It's like 4:00. So we went and we checked in, and then we just real quick, I don't even know if we set up the RV, like put the slide out of the stabilizers. I think we just went, ran down to the beach, checked out the beach. Then we ran back. I set up the RV because there was no electric or power or anything set up. So I just, you know, I put out the slide, stabilizers. I turned off the generator or whatever, put out the awning, like the overhang thing. And then we went down the beach a second time, and he played in the rocks. And I surfed this little tiny beach break pretty much, you know, by myself, and he played. And it was like, we were gone for like an hour and a half, you know, between me surfing a little bit, but coming in and playing rocks with him and stuff like that. And then we got back up to the campsite. Maybe we didn't get out of the water real fast. But long story short, we get back to the campsite, and he had been in trunks and a wet rash guard because he was in the water a little bit. I was in a wet wetsuit. I was carrying a wave storm, his bucket of rocks, his shovel, and it was getting dark. He was hungry. I was hungry. I had to bathe and shower him and get him dressed. I had to prepare dinner. Then I had to start the fire. We had a camping fire ring, and I had to cook dinner, and it was all getting dark. So when we pulled in, there was it was like one of those campgrounds where you can camp or have an RV or have whatever you want. You basically get like a 35-foot long parking space and then a dirt field with like a fire ring and a picnic table, and you do whatever the fuck you want. And there were 2 tents in each of the things on both sides of us, but I didn't notice it. And it seemed like one had a surfboard, like a wave storm and a fish, like just probably people, like mellow surfer people. And the other one didn't look like anything special. So we get back. The people with the surfboards have like already eaten dinner as we got out of the shower to start dinner, and it's getting dark, and have gone in. The people next door on the other side of us, to like that is facing our you know, port side, our door to our RV, are like these 2 self-described single moms, I guess, who were, this is just information they gave me in the first, I don't know, 90 seconds meeting. They were single moms from like another state that are moving to the state here, and we're both living off of insurance settlements, which sounded kind of fishy, but whatever. The mom told me immediately that her, like, I think 11-year-old son, who was very nice, and I'm not picking on him anyway, and I've taught school, and I've dealt with, and I have autistic people and my relatives and stuff. Her kid was 11, was autistic, but he was super into Minecraft. My kid's 6, super into Minecraft, so they got along, and they were talking about Minecraft, and I made him put on masks, because the lady's like, oh, you can go play baseball with them. We're playing, like, stickball at some other thing down the way, and I'm like, no, we are taking COVID very seriously. We're from Orange County, California, where it's like basically caught on fire the last 3 weeks, and that's where we're camping. Like, he can wear a mask and he can, you know, stay 6 feet and talk to your son and all that kind of shit, but he's not playing any sports or anything right now with anybody, because we're trying to do it the safe thing, you know, but, you know, respectfully. And the lady's like, oh yeah, we take it seriously too. And then you can hear her like tell the daughter, like, oh, where are masks at? Like, they weren't. They had to dig their masks out. And then I'm like, no, we're just in Orange County. Like, we've had virus, you know, we had protests. Like, oh, I know those protests are horrible. And I was like, no, we've had like anti-virus regulation protests, like anti-mask protests. I actually have friends that have marched in the fucking protests in LA and other cities and states, and they're not terrorists, not paid by George Soros. They're just trying to get equal rights, to pivot a little bit towards people that maybe are having problems getting their equal rights served. Oh, yeah, yeah. So she's like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I'm just trying to, like, I believe in masks. I believe in science. I'm not some fucking weirdo, you know, like fucking conspiracy theory, QAnon, fucking COVID denier, campsite people, which is a subculture of RV and camping people, by the way. There's also a subculture, really cool, not these people, but there's those people, like guys that'll have Alex Jones blaring on like the talk, you know, the InfoWars blaring out of their campsite at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not the only one that's experienced this, by the way. One of my friends on Twitter said the same thing. I was like, oh my God, deja vu. And he was like camping in like some giant, you know, Moab or somewhere. But she's doing this and like, oh, the kid's got this, he's like autistic. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, no worries, but you got to wear a mask. So I get my kids sit and they're talking about Minecraft and, you know, mining diamonds and playing in creative mode and all this stuff. Have a great time. I'm setting up dinner. I'm just making us hot dogs. My kid doesn't like to have hot dogs. I'm like, dude, you're camping. You're going to have hot dogs because maybe someday we'll go camping with the family and they'll just give you hot dogs. And I don't want you to be a stuck up dick. Eat your goddamn hot dog. So the 11-year-old kid has got like a 12 or like a year, at least a year older, like bored. And she's not a cousin because it's these two ladies are friends that have known each other. And like, they're a little bit older than me. But she's like not a cousin, but she's not autistic. She's like. A very worn down, beaten by life, world weary, like 11 or 12 year old girl. She reminded me a lot of Cousin Vicky from National Lampoon's Vacation. Just kind of like a, I don't want to be a dick, but like, cause she's a kid, but like kind of a skeezy vibe. Like this chick, if she doesn't grow up to be like a skeezy barfly, then God bless her and all the angels that protected her, because she seems like that kind of like stirring the Kool-Aid with her hand, kind of like just skanky kid. And she was just kind of a dick, and she was like at one point making fun of the autistic kid and calling him gay and saying he's a gay wad and loved the gays, kissing boys. And I had to stop her and go, hey, I'm an adult and I have a ton of friends. I have a ton of friends who are gay, and they're some of the best people that I know. They're totally normal, not weird. Know a couple dudes that are married to another dude. Know some chicks that are married to other chicks. Know a couple dudes that used to be dudes that are now chicks, and vice versa. Like, so if you're gonna talk like that, you got to take that shit somewhere. And I told her, just take that shit somewhere else in front of my kid. He's like, oh, you're cussing. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that's not fucking cool. Like, which doesn't make me a hero, because I'm cussing at a child who will probably have an abortion in the next 3 years, and or get lung cancer from smoking unfiltered Camels or Marlboros or whatever. But I just, it had a full day. I was trying to get dinner done, and I was like trying to draw a line. Like, you wear masks and don't fucking like totally defame gay people in front of my kid. That's all I'm asking. Okay, it's been nice. The kid and my son talk about Minecraft the rest of the night, and they're having a great time. And I have to keep telling them, like, you know, stay apart from each other and shit like that. So we have our hot dogs and we go to bed and we watch a movie inside, and it's fine. It is what it is. We're supposed to leave the next morning. Oh, that night though, the mom was being real. Oh, two things. The mom, one of the moms, it's being really weird, asking weird personal questions, asking how much our RV cost at one point, and just asking about my wife, trying to get our phone number. And we just met. They're like, well, we're moving here. We should get your number. Like, they're moving to like Oceanside or somewhere for like more than an hour away. I'm never going to, like, I don't care what you, if you could heal the fucking sick with, you know, laser beams from your eyes, I'm never going to see you again. We're just politely getting through the next 11 hours because we're leaving in the morning. Fuck off, you know? We're like, oh yeah, okay, your phone number. It was weird. And then at one point, like around like 9 o'clock at night, this right before we went back into our RV, one of the moms pulls the 11-year-old autistic kid aside and tells him that she doesn't like the internet because there is a camera, because the campground's by the freeway, there's a camera on that building across the freeway from us. It's like clearly like 1,000 yards or more away, and it's watching us, and there's satellites from space watching us, and they're all controlled by the internet, and the internet knows what we're doing, and it's spying on us, and that's not right, and that's why she's camping. Not because she's broke and living on a settlement and probably hasn't moved into her place for the first, so she's making her poor kids fucking live outside for 3 weeks. Yeah, of course not. So that was a red flag. The weird personal shit, the gay, anti-gay, weird fucking Vicky girl, and the fucking, when the conspiracy theory QAnon internet spying thing came out, I was like, all right, we're going to go to bed now. God, all the gods, old and the new, bless you. You know, we go to sleep. We went inside and watched a movie in the RV. Next morning we get up. My son wanted to go on a hike or ride his bike and then hike down the trail and shoot a slingshot. I have a slingshot. I don't let my kid have a slingshot because it's like the rubber tube kind that shoots really far. But he can supervise in camping trips when we find an open place, shoot a slingshot. So he wanted to go shoot rocks at the ocean. My son wants to fight the ocean. I don't know what his problem is. So we go down, shoot the rocks, and then I'm like, okay, well, dude, we're gonna eat breakfast real quick, and then I'm gonna pack up the RV and we're gonna bounce. Okay, he's like, oh, so I'm like, you can say bye to your little friend, but that's it. You know, when I say it's time to go, it's time to go. Because if you had young children, you realize it's always like one more minute, one more thing, and then they throw a fit. So I'm like, dude, You promise? Yeah, promise. So he goes down, puts his mask on. He's talking to the kid about Minecraft. The kid next door is like, it's later. It's like 10 in the morning because we'd slept in a little bit and we went fucked around on the beach because we don't have to check out like 11 or noon or whatever at the campsite. The kid next door, it's like 10 in the morning. For breakfast, he is just downing a half gallon of like that generic like supermarket dollar store chocolate milk, but a half gallon, like a handle of chocolate milk. And he's like 3/4 done with it. And he's chasing it with a fucking non-refrigerated, like campsite temperature Coca-Cola out of the can. And they've been there 2 days, like the night before, and they've dusted like a 24 pack of like Coke between the two kids and probably just between the two kids. So I'm like, and even my kid who's 6 is like, dude, that's a fucked up. He's like, that dad, that's, you're not supposed to have that for breakfast. That's bad. I'm like, you are correct. Keep it to yourself. Just shut up. Let me get out of here. So I'm trying to pack up the RV, but I noticed that morning, we didn't take the bikes. We walked. That's why we were gone so long on the little hike. We went, the bikes, I had lost the bike keys. I had cable locked the bikes together on the bike rack on the back of the RV. Luckily they weren't locked to the rack. They were just locked together. So I could get them off when we get home and deal with them there. But they were cable locked and I lost the key to our one of our kryptonite locks. And I had it the night before, but like the rushing, and it was when I was trying to get in the shower and the autistic kid was kind of in our face and I was trying to give the speech about the masks and the mom was like kind of asking weird questions. I think I dropped it on the ground outside and I think there was like kind of like some like transient hobo people that kind of lived that were at the other end of the thing, and I heard some people walking around early in the morning. The next morning, I think someone picked up the key. Maybe it was a Vicky girl, but I turned the RV for the next 45 minutes upside down. I checked every cupboard, every drawer, every pants, every pocket, every dirty clothes, every clean clothes, every backpack, every flap inside and outside of the RV. I could not find the key. While I'm doing this, the 11-year-old boy, the Minecraft kid next door, has gotten all amped up. He's just, I don't know, like the fucking, the chocolate milk or the fucking Coke or whatever just hits him like a fucking freight train, and this kid's fucking lit and he's like he's just going nuts, and he's keep trying to like sit closer and closer to my kid and grab my kid's arm to like look at his video game and shit like that. And I'm like, dude, you guys can't touch, you gotta stop, please stop, please stop. So he's like, well, maybe dad, maybe he'll be calmer if he can sit by us. And I'm like, I don't know. So the kid, without permission, the kid gets up and grabs his chair and plops his like camping chair right next to our RV, like under our awning by our back spare, by our back rear tire, like by the compartment where my surfboard's leaning against, where I'm trying to load the compartments on the shit. I'm like, oh fuck. At least he has a mask on. So my kid's sitting next to him, and then the kid keeps trying to grab my kid, and at one point I kind of frame my kid, and I do this sometimes. If I'm in a situation where I need to get my son safe and out of a danger thing, but I don't want to be rude to another person, I'm like, you're not listening. I told you 3 times already. Get inside, and you're on timeout. And he's like, what? I'm like, just dude, drunk. Just be cool. I'll explain. So I put him on timeout outside in the back, and I make him sit in the back of the RV. And it's not the nicest thing, but I just need 7 minutes to pack up this fucking RV and get away from this family. That's all I need, okay? In the meantime, the Vicky girl has piled up, because you have a fire ring between each of your camping sites. There's a fire ring behind our RV that's our fire ring. This girl has collected trash, including plastic and other shit that is not meant to burn and smells awful when it does, and is piling trash into our fire ring and trying to light it on fire. She's like, do you have a lighter? I'm like, no, I don't. And I wouldn't give one to a 12-year-old. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm working on something else. Let me do what I'm doing and I'll talk to you afterwards. Because I'm trying to like get the, I'm trying to find the key. I'm still looking for the key for the bikes. And I'm trying to pack up the RV. And I feel bad about busting my son, but I don't want to buy this kid who's fucking keeps trying to like claw at him and shit and like whatever. And the mom weirded me out. So long story short, I'm looking for the key still. I'm pulling everything in. The kid has gotten up out of his chair and is standing at the bottom of our steps of our RV, facing in our RV, going, like the villager. It's a sound that the villagers make in Minecraft. He's pretending to be a villager and going, and he does this, I shit you not, for 15 minutes straight. Like he's in the doorway. At one point, like 10 minutes into it, because I'm going insane, because I'm coming in and out of the RV, loading stuff up, packing up, because it's the last trip. We're going home, actually. This is the last thing. And I'm just like, fuck. And his mask isn't on at this point. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. So at one point, I just slammed the RV door shut in his face. I don't care if you think I'm a bad person. I fucking am. But I slammed the door in his face, because I was like, hey, could you not do that? I hinted that please stop earlier after 10 minutes. I need to do it. I slammed the door. He honks and for fucking many more minutes outside. No problem. Over and over. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. So I'm like, I get most of the RV loaded up. I can't find the keys. I've just called it a wash. I got bolt cutters at home. I'm going to cut the fucking bolt, the thing off the lock if I have to, and just call it a fucking loss, whatever. I know how to make a DIY lock now, so I'm, you know, Wetsuit lock, so I'm not, it's not all a loss. I feel good about my choices, because I'm just, so I'm trying to get out of this campus, and it's fucking, I'm terrified of the mom. The mom's background. Oh, also, left out this part of the story. I know it's kind of sidetracked, but like the night when we came back from the beach, the moms next door blared Nickelback, Creed, and 90s Christian like power ballad rock at the top of the volume on their ghetto blaster for fucking like at least 3 hours, from like six like o'clock or 6:30 to like 9:30 at night. It was insane. It was like, it was so loud you couldn't really have a conversation or think clearly anywhere in their campsite, our campsite outside. It was like you could hear it through the wall of our fucking RV. It was insane. So there's that. There's just so much going on. And then the Vicky girls making the trash pile, the kids doing Now, I've almost got the RV packed. The mom brings over a chair and she's on the phone. She's trying to do like some Zoom call for like 20 minutes. Like, can you hear me? Can you hear me? You know, and she hates the internet because she thinks it's spying on her. And she goes and comes over to the kid and sits down in a chair, brings a chair over, and is sitting next to our RV door, like by our back tire of our RV, by the awning, under our awning, the little outcropping thing that you push in and out, you know, that hangs over like 10, 15 feet over the RV. And she's doing a doctor's appointment on Zoom with the doctor and her kid. And apparently her kid has a rash from neck to fucking ankles. And I didn't mention this. He's in his full arms, you know, full legs and arms, like full snuggie, like Pokemon snuggie that's like head to toe. I thought it was just a comfort thing because sometimes autistic kids like, you know, tactile, you know, touch stuff, like wearing long sleeve stuff makes them feel better. He's been in the snuggie for like since yesterday, and it looks like it's been in it for the better part of at least the 3 or 4 days they've been camping there. She unzips it all the way, like 8 feet, 10 feet outside the door of our fucking RV under our awning next to our RV in our campsite, not theirs. And start showing the doctor the rash, like down past, like opening the thing. Like one time I was coming out with a load, trying to, like the last things, just bringing them. She's got the kids like underwear pointed back, showing the rash. And then I'm gleaning from the conversation as I'm trying to ignore it and racing to lock everything up, that the fucking, she got a rash because she thinks she got it from the black mold where they were living beforehand. Maybe that's what one of the settlements was from. But like, what, who has a fucking kid who was poisoned by black mold that they take camping to the place where the showers are turned off because of COVID for 3 days at least? Like, this kid hasn't showered and he's got this rash, and he was sitting next to my kid trying to grab my kid. I'm flipping the fuck out. I'm like, oh God, I feel itchy. This is, oh, it's the plague. I'm going to fucking die. I load everything in. Their fucking weird ass phone call doctor thing ends. I zip it up. I go, okay, Charlie, we're getting the fuck out of here. I go, pop your head out the door, say goodbye to these people. And he's like, bye, friend. And the kid's like, bye. And I push my kid back in the RV. And I go to like shut the door and put the stairs in and whatever. And the final walk around, doing my final walk around to make sure everything's disconnected and pushed in and proper. And the lady and the kid come up my face without masks. I'm like, oh, we lost one of our dogs. One of our dogs. Oh, by the way, they have three puppies. They're traveling in two like hatchback cars and camping with like several, you know, two moms and two kids. And they've got three puppies of different breeds. It's like they had like a Chihuahua, like a lab mix, and like a Basset. Like three different, they're not like siblings. They're just, they got three fucking puppies. God knows where. So now they've lost one of the puppies. The kids, I'm thinking the puppies, their cars, by the way, the windows of their cars are filled past up to the windows with trash. BT dubs. I let that little fucking factoid out. So I'm like, fuck, they're in the car. They could have burrowed down for safety or for a Cheeto or what. Like, no, we don't know the dog is. And the fucking kid's making the fucking Minecraft noise. And the mom is just like, like being fucking weird and aggressive. I'm like, I don't fucking know. I just walked around. So I walk around the RV. I get my hands and knees, and it's like just fucking looking. There's no fucking puppy or dog under the RV. I'm like, it's not here. And she's like, oh, you help us look. I'll give you my number, and you call us if you see it. And I'm just like, what? Fuck. All right, I got to go. I flipped the fuck out. Not externally, but I'm like, in the interior, I'm just fucking flipping up. I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Okay, nice meeting you. Bye. I get in the RV. I start it up, and it's like we're like a mile deep in the campground. And I just started driving to the campground. I'm like, dude, hey, sorry about that. Click into your seatbelt at the table. That was insane. That was in a pretty, you know, dude. He's like, yeah. I go, did you hear the phone call with the doctor? Yeah, with a rash. I'm like, do you get why I was going insane? He's like, oh, yeah, you made Dad, you're smart. You knew you were trying to get me out of there. I'm like, fucking, yeah, I was. You motherfucker, don't doubt me anymore. I don't call him a motherfucker, but I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, that was insane. And then I'm using the bathroom and I hear like a boom, boom, boom in the back. And I'm like, oh, dude, what are you doing? It sounded like he knocked something inside one of the cabinets or counters. I'm like, dude, are you buckled in? You know, in the RV. He's like, I'm buckled in. I'm like, all right, sorry, dude. And I'm trying to call my wife on speakerphone saying, hey, we're just now leaving the campground where there are an extra 45 minutes trying to find this key. And this, the worst thing in the world, the worst camping people next to us in the world happened. And I probably have the plague and we're all going to die. And then I hear, go, go, go. And I get off the phone with my wife. I'm like, hey, I got to call you back because I think something broke on the RV. I pull over. And I open and I pull over, like, you know, there's parallel parking spots, but it's all empty because it's the morning and no one's pulled in. None of the new people arrived. Pull into like an empty parking lot portion of the camp. And I get out and do a walk around in the RV. And I've said the word several times during the story because I was trying to like plant that it was where some of the main action was taking place that was freaking me out. The awning on our RV is electric and you push it out and it hangs out and it's got little railing arms, you know, little arms that go out. That's what we hang our wetsuits off of sometimes. That's what sometimes I use the DIY lock to lock it on there. And one of the last things I usually do is make sure I walk around, make sure all the tubes are pulled in, pulling the slide, you know, from our RV and make sure the awning is in. And the awning is usually a no-brainer. It's usually the first thing I do when I start packing up. But because the kid was sitting by the awning and standing by the door where the awning controls were, and I was just freaking out and didn't want to be around him, I fucking forgot to pull the awning in when I was my beginning of my checklist to leave. And at the end during my walk around, I was so freaked out and they were like in my face right there by the awning and the controls, I forgot to pull the fucking awning in. So it was sticking, you know, 12 to 15 feet out from our fucking RV. I drove through the thing, and when we came the first time, the boom sound, we went by a tree, a pretty thick thing of trees. It probably broke the awning. The second time, like our RV weighs like 14,000 pounds. It's like, even if you hit like, you know, something going slow with like a train, it still annihilates it. Same thing. The awning was ripped clear the fuck off. There was no awning. The bolts were ripped right out. It didn't wreck the exterior of the RV at all. It just fucking snapped the bolts and ripped it off. There were like 6 inches of wires in the front hanging off. And that's all there was of the fucking awning. And I look back to where we were driving. The awning's nowhere to be seen. And I can see a good couple hundred yards. There's no awning. And I called my son. I'm like, oh, dude. Cut the awning. I ripped the awning off, and I'm like, hold on a second. And I just sit down. There's like a park. I'm burning a park. You know, we're parked across like six parking spots. It's empty parking lot. And I just sit down in a parking block, and I just let it wash over me. I just let all that, like, just that cold, like pillowcase of frozen forks and diarrhea that's like just dragged through your entrails, feeling just like I let like the just sadness and regret and anger and embarrassment just. What, like, and you get caught inside, and like, you know, on a big day at your local break, for me that's like shoulder high, you know, Bolsa Chica, but for you maybe it's 20 foot, you know, Piaje or whatever. But I just let it wash over me and I just absorb it, just like, oh fuck, this feels so shitty, god. And I'm trying not to like be freaked out for me, because I'm like, oh, this sucks. And I just let 30 seconds go, and then I stand up and go, all right, let's get going, bud. And he gets back in, tell me to click in, he locks in. And I go, I'm in a camp place. I can't just leave this awning. I've got to see where it is. I drive back probably like 500 yards the other direction we came from. And there's a tree, and the awning is in perfect condition. It hasn't been balled up. It got ripped off in one fell swoop. So there's like 18 feet by 15 feet of awning just in the tree, like it's floating the ghost. And the poles are hanging. It's a two-lane, one-way, one-way street. And the poles are hanging in the street. So it's blocking the only lane of traffic out of the fucking park. So I find there's another parking lot there. I pull into the empty parking lot. I say, I'll be right back. I run them. And all I can do, the awning's not going to fit in the RV. There's no way. There's just no way. It wouldn't fit in. I pull the awning out of the fucking tree and I drag it to the side of the road. And there's like a bike, like a paved bike trail. And there's like a ravine. And there's rangers all over this park. And they're all in trucks and they could deal with this much better. And this is the worst thing. And I feel like a fucking environmental terrorist. I just pull the awning and I break it the rest of the way, like as down as I can get to like, you know, 6 or 8 foot long strips and roll it into a ball. And I just put it at the edge of the trail out of the way. So no bikers or cars will be hurt and no kids will get it hurt. And I just get in the fucking RV and I just drive home. Just drive the fuck home. It was so bad. I had to tell my mom, because it was my mom's RV technically. And I had to take it back to her place. I had to go home and clean it and then take it back to her place. My wife was kind of like eggy about it at first. I'm like, dude, I'll pay for it. Fuck off. And then I drove her to my mom's, and my mom, we're cleaning out the sewage tank there, because she has a sewage thing at her where she lives, her complex. And we're cleaning it out, and she notices, and I tell her the long version of the story with the crazy part and the parts and the rash and the fucking internet shit. I really, but she's like, just tell me how this ends. I'm like, no, you need to know all the things that led to this. And then she's pissed about it. I'm like, dude, I will fucking pay for it. I'll pay for the parts, the labor, any repairs. I will drive it to the RV place, drop it off. I will pick it up and drive it back. This will not inconvenience at all. And then she was much cooler about it. But I just fucking, oh, it was so bad. And it was such a rookie mistake, And people are like, well, you should have left the night before. And people were being weird. I feel like the same thing would happen the night before because we already had the RV set up. I was so weirded out. And it was like they were right in our grill, right, like right in our face, right by our door and right where the controls were and right under the fucking awning, where it was like the only place, the main place I didn't want to be. But yeah, I did. I looked up. I mean, we went out of town right after that. And the RV is just like sitting waiting to get repaired. I looked it up. The awning will be between like 500 low end to like 1500 high end. So probably, let's say, $800 hopefully, and then labor. Hopefully, I don't know. I mean, I'm by no means wealthy or rich or whatever, but like I work and I can do other shit. I can make the money back, but it was an expensive lesson to learn, probably $1,500 lesson to learn. It is embarrassing. It's stupid. I'm sure the guys at the RV place, oh, fucking really? You're trying to make a wing to fly? You know, they'll say some stupid fucking jock bully shit when I drop it off and pick it up. I don't care. But in the grand scheme of things, the five trips that we've taken as a family and as me and my son together in that thing so far, just in the last month or so, if you divide five of the $1,500 over like the next 20 or 40 or whatever years of my life, I remember that, the trips and fun that I had with my son, totally worth it. But yeah, that just, fuck God. I mean, embarrassed and bummed about money. You know what I mean? You're like losing money and you broke a thing and it was your fault and you're stupid and you're alive and your kid's there seeing how stupid you are. It was just perfect storm of shame and just physical, or not physical, but emotional and psychological torment and just despair. But yeah, when you're camping, or whether it's camping or whatever, or RVing or vanning or whatever you're doing, don't rush. Have a checklist like I should have been using. And you don't have to be nice to people. People are weirding you out, or people aren't respecting the COVID rules or the boundaries that you set up. Just be like, I'm sorry, I'm on vacation with my family, I don't feel like talking to you, please go away. You know, change sites if you have to, because it would have made a much less expensive and much more, you know, a much better ending to a really fun 3-day camping trip if I wouldn't have fucking been so stupid. All right. I hope this is a cathartic for you to hear someone much dumber than you tell a much more embarrassing story of something, how they fucked up much worse than you did in the last probably 3 to 6 weeks, if not months, if not years. For the Surfing Podcast, I have been and will continue to be Dan Bylock. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram, subscribe to us on iTunes, listen to Spotify, share us with your friends. Send weird emails arguing that you don't agree with or my Black Lives Matter stance or the COVID episode where I cussed a lot and I won't answer you back because I don't give a fuck. My opinion's my opinion. You make your own stupid podcast and put your opinions there. How about that? I mean, Jesus Christ, tell me your stupid embarrassing story where you wrecked some goddamn thing and had to look at the burning disappointment in your 71-year-old mom's eyeballs. God damn it, that was a fucking shitty time. Anyway, for the Surfing Podcast, have a great time. Don't ride a fish beard unless you surf good. Or do. Fuck, I surf like an amputee in a coma. I have nowhere to talk on that. But yeah, have a great week. Be nice to other people. Take care of yourself. Catch some waves. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.